His Twitter feed says he is running for the U.S. Senate, but the most important roles he plays are husband, father, and son, and also community advocate. Charles Booker, it is good to have you back.
It's good to be back, brother, always.
Indeed. You've been running a long campaign toward this election, which is only several weeks away now.
Yeah.
I know you've been in every corner of Kentucky. What are you learning on the road?
You know, the first thing that I'm learning is really an affirmation that everywhere you go, you're going to find hardworking Kentuckians. Regardless of party, you're going to find people that are caring, that are working diligently, that are overcoming obstacles. And it just restores my hope that this campaign and this message, our message of bringing people together, that is still possible in a time of so much division. So I'm proud to run this race, and we're going to win it.
I see you tweet frequently about how you're going to retire Rand Paul, and that's a big job to take out an incumbent. Why should you replace Rand Paul?
Rand Paul does not want to work for the people of Kentucky. He does not understand our challenges. He doesn't care about us. He's a spoiled brat. He's been entitled. He had a spoon in his mouth that really says he feels the Senate seat belongs to him and that he should not do anything for us while we're falling off the cliff. And when we saw those floods, the historic tornado, all these crises that hit, it really smacked you in the face of what it looks like to have someone that really doesn't give a damn about your life. And so I'm running because I believe we can end poverty. I believe we can make sure the families have a sustainable future, good paying jobs, clean air and clean water, that we can be safe in our communities, and that we can have a government that works for us and not against us. And none of this is radical. I'm simply just saying Kentuckians matter, and I want to fight for them in Washington.
A lot of people feel like the midterms, from what I read all the time, a lot of people feel like maybe the abortion issue out of the Supreme Court of the United States could be a factor in races all across America. So I want to get your take on the SCOTUS decision.
Yeah.
And what the ramifications are for the Commonwealth of Kentucky and really all 50 states.
Well, the trend that we're seeing across the country around the issue of abortion rights, which is really about health care, we're seeing it in Kentucky, too. Look, I'm having rallies in Pikeville, in Ashland, in Paducah, all across the Commonwealth, areas that are largely Republican. A lot of folks who voted for Trump that are coming out to get involved in my campaign because they realize that their rights are at stake. This is about human rights. It's about the ability to make decisions over your life. It's about saying the government should not be this big brother that mandates what happens to your body, even if it kills you. And it's saying that women should not be reduced to state property or second class citizenship. And I'm not running away from that. I stood on the House floor and spoke about humanity and spoke about the pain that I've even seen my mom go through in suffering miscarriages and seeing how some legislators want to criminalize miscarriage. And even now, I'm running against someone who supports a national ban to abortion, wants to essentially block any measure, even if a child is raped in a case of incest, in a moment where if the pregnancy continues, an ectopic pregnancy, for instance, that the mother would die, that the procedure is still blocked and prevented. That is inhumane. It's barbaric. And we have to call it out. And it isn't a partisan statement. This has been a wedge issue. But I'm naming that it's always been bigger than abortion. It's been about control. And I'm saying that people in Kentucky should control their future.
Republicans are saying that that's nonsense, that they would never criminalize someone who's in an ectopic pregnancy situation or where the mother's life is in danger. Now, the topics of incest and rape, that's a separate issue. But this is for what Republicans say over and over again is, let's let the states decide, as what the Supreme Court did. Why is that the wrong message?
Well, first of all, it's not true. I've learned a lot of things about Rand Paul, and one of them is that he lies a lot. So just because he says something doesn't mean it's the case, and more than likely it's not the case. Look at his record. He has been on record saying he supports a complete ban regardless of if it would kill the mother, even in a case of rape or incest. He said that. So this is not me making something up. I'm shining a light on him. And the important point to make clear here is that we're at a moment in Kentucky. We've been going through this pandemic. Folks have fallen off the cliff. Jobs have been lost. Folks are rationing their medicine. People are losing their homes, their livelihoods. And instead of addressing our needs, they're weaponizing wedge issues to drive us apart, sow fear and division, and exploit us. And look, here's the big point. We all have our personal preferences, our personal decisions and beliefs. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I appreciate and respect the ability for us to make our own personal decisions, but the government should not be responsible for mandating anyone's actions over their own body. That is a slippery slope that speaks to all of our rights to privacy, and we got to raise a standard against that.
Many people get online and squawk about, they say, all these other issues are just sideshows. What really matters is the economy. We know inflation is crushing people's souls. What would you do in terms of trying to right the ship, in terms of the outlay? People are getting their standard income, whatever they're making, and if the price of bread and meat keeps going up and up and up, obviously they're making less money. So what would you, Charles Booker, do? What's your idea about how to arrest or throw a rope around or whatever you want to call it, hogtie inflation? Yeah.
Well, my whole platform is actually about driving down cost, putting more money in the pockets of Kentuckians and pockets of American people, and building a sustainable economy for the future. Because, look, we've gone through not just a pandemic that hit Kentucky. This has been a global crisis, and we're seeing inflation across the planet. And so one of the things we have to understand is in this moment where prices have increasingly gone up and the supply chain has been affected, we're also seeing historic levels of profits from corporations who are price gouging. And we have to name that. A big part of what we've seen in Kentucky, we've been exploited before the pandemic. Companies that have been making historic profits, like those coal companies that were taking in money hand over fist, leaving their employees high and dry. One of the things we can do is hold them accountable. And we can do the work at the federal level of addressing price gouging, but then also do the work of investing in people. I believe that the work with the infrastructure legislation, even the Inflation Reduction Act, are critical steps forward to help get more money in the pockets of Kentuckians, invest in sustainable economy, which means that we're mitigating our land, we're addressing the harms that have been done to our environment, creating jobs from that, and we're supporting the industrial manufacturing jobs of the future. We just saw Ford with that historic announcement, and we're seeing the progress here, billions of dollars creating the jobs of tomorrow. We need to do that work in Kentucky. My vision of a Kentucky New Deal means you'll have a partner in the U.S. Senate to make it happen.
You don't have any issue with Ford getting special tax treatment or whatever it happens to be to get those jobs here, because some people do complain about that.
Well, I've always been a voice of evaluating all the incentives that are made, because a lot of regular folks, small businesses, don't often get the incentives to create jobs in their communities. I do believe this is a historic investment that does deserve support, but we need to keep a lens on it, because I've called out from the beginning, those jobs need to be union jobs. We need to make sure that folks are getting paid what they deserve, and that we're investing in not just the economy for those companies, but for the communities as well. Kentucky deserves that. So I think it is vigilant to have a watchful eye. I worked in economic development at the local level and in the state legislature, and I'll be fighting to make sure Kentucky is put first.
As a black man running for the United States Senate, obviously, through the year 2020, we saw all the upheaval here in Louisville and across America. It had to do with George Floyd, but here, certainly, it was about Breonna Taylor and David McAtee. Has our culture improved in these 2 years since then?
You know, I think what we've seen, what I've seen, is a strengthened resolve. That gives me hope. There are a lot of issues that we have not yet addressed. There is still an urgent need to provide true justice and accountability in our communities all across Kentucky, all across the country. We still have to do the work of addressing structural racism in our institutions, and we have to realize true community safety, which means we are doing the work to end poverty. It is unfair to law enforcement to say, hey, you solve all of these problems in our community. It's not right. It's not fair to them, and it's not solving the problem. So we need to do that deeper work. I think there have been good steps forward in terms of accountability and investment. But we got a whole lot more work to do, man. And Rand Paul is really in a position where he does not care. He doesn't see these challenges. He doesn't think racism exists. And so he's not going to be a part of the solution. I am proud of the people of Kentucky who have continued to organize, to push for change and accountability, but also to push for investments in neighborhoods across Kentucky, from the hood to the holler, that have been ignored. That will be my priority in Washington.
Police officers are unionized. They certainly are here. You've heard sort of the change in the weather out of President Biden and many prominent Democrats who are in office, where it was, hey, let's repackage policing. Let's reimagine policing. And now we've had these crime waves that at least seemingly are escalating all across America. Are we serving our police properly now? I mean, because obviously after Breonna Taylor, we all stood back and everybody had to take a look, and the Justice Department's still doing that to LMPD.
Yeah.
What does Charles Booker say about policing, not just here in Louisville, but all across Kentucky and America? And how should we invest in that?
Well, I first want to say that I appreciate every single person who puts on a uniform and goes out to serve our community and keep us safe. I thank you for that sacrifice because it is one. I can say that and also acknowledge that there are challenges and flaws in the institutions that we still need to work on. But the fact of the matter is, we are doing a disservice to law enforcement. We're doing a disservice to our communities by not doing the deeper work of addressing health care, of addressing poverty, of addressing the lack of quality housing, of addressing environmental injustice, and the fact that folks are suffocating right now, struggling to breathe in the West End. You know, by us not doing that deeper work, when crimes happen that are really spurred out of the desperation, out of pain, and then we say, hey, police, you go fix it, that is not a solution. And so what I'm saying is, let's treat gun violence, for instance, as a public health crisis. All of us together, law enforcement, community, faith, business, folks on the ground. Let's build holistic solutions. And we need federal investment to do that. Kentucky has a housing challenge. Louisville certainly has a housing shortage. The federal dollars can invest in building sustainable, quality housing and address some of the root causes, the social determinants of health. When you do that, crime goes down. We know it's true. We legalize cannabis, help folks get on pathways to heal. We see crime go down. We know it's true. We just have to do the work.
Today, the city of Louisville committed $32 million, and this has to do with just you're talking about housing for marginalized people, houseless people. And is this just a pebble on a big pile, or do you see this as a big start?
Well, the mayor's administration will tell you that it's not enough. And, you know, I commend all of our allies at the state, local, and federal level for channeling the resources now, because in the rescue plan, in the infrastructure bill that passed, there are monies that are targeted towards addressing the housing challenge. And one of the groups that I think about often are veterans. We have a significant issue of homeless veterans and that are suffering to get health care, and which makes me think about Rand Paul voting against the PACT Act, blocking their health care because he thinks the veterans might lie about getting sick. I know that we have a lot of work to do, but we're on the cusp of really transforming our future because we have taken Mitch McConnell out of the majority seat. We have someone in the White House who is not trying to get in bed with Vladimir Putin. And perhaps now we can make investments in Kentucky for a change and do the work to make sure that everyone can have quality housing and live a good life. That's what I'm going to be fighting for, because I've experienced homelessness, and I know that it's not about moral deficiency. There are policy decisions that are happening.
Like you started that response, we all say it's not enough money. It's a start. Yet some people will say, well, we're giving so much money to other countries around the world, and Rand Paul's one of the ones who really stands up against that all the time. Like, I'm going to throw out Ukraine. Are we over-serving Ukraine, or is it just right? What do you think of America's commitment to Ukraine financially thus far?
Well, we have an obligation to our allies across the world. Everyone that is fighting for democracy, fighting for humanity, we're in this together. Just like I say here in Kentucky, we're a family. We're all in this together. We need leaders on the global stage to understand that, too. I think the argument that we can't help one because we can't do the other is a false argument. Now, we do have an issue with the military-industrial complex and ever-growing investments in this pursuit of weaponry and how arms are sold, that we need someone that's actually going to fight to end the industrial complex and drive more resources to not just our country, but to the Commonwealth of Kentucky. But we can do that and stand with our allies, too. And it has pained me to see Rand Paul essentially turn his back on our troops, turn his back on innocent families, women and children who are fighting to stay alive, all because he wants to feel important. It's wrong, and he should not be in office.
You and I have discussed this. This is my last question. Are you getting the amount of support you expected out of the National Party, out of the state Democrat Party, and so forth? You feel like you're feeling the love from them now?
Well, I'll say this. This is a Kentucky campaign through and through. Man, I'm so proud of that. We got folks all over the Commonwealth that have never gotten involved before that are contributing to our campaign. Our average contribution is around $23, $24. So what we've built without the national help is incredible. Thousands of folks that are now saying, okay, I'm going to get involved from here on. I have seen a lot of support at the federal level. Jamie Harrison came to town. That was a big step. We're seeing folks nationally pay attention in Kentucky now. And in months past, they've been writing us off. But it's not enough. And, you know, one of the challenges that I'm speaking to is, look, this is a special moment for us as a Commonwealth to come together. I know this campaign is special. We have the support to win, but we need more money. And if we can get that support right now, we'll blow Rand Paul out.
Charles Booker, people can find you online, Booker for Kentucky.
CharlesBooker.org. Charles. Can't take it down. Please support us however you can.
Hey, great to talk to you again. Thanks for stopping by.
Always.
That's Charles Booker, candidate for United States Senate.